Good morning, council. This is the case of Edwards versus Douglas County. Before we begin, please continue to wear your masks when you are not presenting to the court, but when you are presenting, please take your mask off so that we can hear and understand what you have to say. You will note that there are five members of the court here in the courtroom. Two of the members of the court are on WebEx, Justice Miller Lerman and Justice Funk. Do you have any questions before we begin? Thank you very much. Ms. McGill, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal. May it please the court and counsel, my name is Gretchen McGill and I represent the appellant Julie Edwards in this case. This appeal covers the issue of whether Douglas County has a duty to the victims of a crime when they're handling a 911 call for that particular emergency situation. And obviously the court is likely aware more recently Douglas County raised the issue of whether or not it is immune from Ms. Edwards' claims under the new case that this court rendered on September 4th in Mosier. The facts are largely undisputed in this case in that on February 12, 2016, Ms. Edwards was moving her belongings out of her ex-boyfriend's house. Her ex-boyfriend, Kenneth Clark, shot her brothers and took her hostage. One of her brothers, John, made it to the basement and called 911. With regard to how that 911 call was handled, there's lots of evidence that that call was mishandled by 911. And you need only to listen to the 911 calls to hear the tone of the operator, Jeff Zavoris, and not treating it as an emergency. There was over a six minute phone call involving Lori Anderson, the dispatcher from Douglas County, responsible for dispatching law enforcement to the scene, whereby Ms. Anderson's distracted. The sergeant on the phone tries to get her attention several times. While she knows the location of the emergency, she knows the name of the suspect. None of that is given to law enforcement until 8 minutes pass. Douglas County is not entitled to immunity under the Mosier standard. First of all, there is a separate act, the Emergency Telephone Communications System Act, which provides for immunity for those who provide 911 services, except for the failure to use reasonable care.
Counsel, Judge.
Does the Emergency Telecommunications Services Act apply to peoples or entities above and beyond political subdivisions of their employees? Does it apply to suppliers of equipment, to installers, to a host of folks who would not be under the PSTCD umbrella, so to speak?
Yes, Your Honor.
And how does that fit into the analysis?
Because I think it does apply to non-governmental employees, which we argued in our brief, but I think it has to be read in conjunction with the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act.
Now, how do you reconcile that with the part of the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act that says it and only it is going to regulate the liability of subdivisions?
Well, because the Emergency Telephone Communications System Act was enacted after the PTSCA, and it applies, and the legislator wanted to impose a specific duty to those providing 911 services, recognizing the importance of that duty, the importance of that task in protecting the safety and welfare of the citizens of Nebraska and providing them a mechanism by which they call a three-digit number in the case of an emergency.
Does 86-441 make any reference at all, or any other statute in the Emergency Telephone Communications Systems Act, reference the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act or vice versa?
No, it does not.
So what specific language in 86441 do you think expressly waives a political subdivision's sovereign immunity? What language can you direct us to?
I think it waives the immunity by the duty it imposes.
Which language?
Any entity that provides emergency telephone and communication services are immune except for the failure to use reasonable care.
So we've got propositions of law that say that a waiver of immunity will only be found when the language is very express. That's why I'm trying to understand from your argument which express language in the statute you think waives Douglas County's sovereign immunity.
And I think it's the general language or the specific language that states those who provide emergency telephone communication services, those are providers of that service, are immune except for the duty to use reasonable care.
So the first sentence of 486441 refers to the act is within the governmental powers and authorities of a governing body or public safety agency. Is that what you were referring to initially, in that your initial answer was that this act applies to government entities? That's the first sentence, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, and then the second sentence is contracting for 911 and providing 911 except for failure to use reasonable care or for intentional acts, each governing body, public agency, and service and so forth shall be immune from liability, right? So that's saying shall be immune unless these things happen.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Is there some ambiguity here? Is this something we can look at legislative history to help us determine which statute?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything in the Emergency Telephone Communication Systems Act which talks a lot about the immunity. I mean, I looked and I couldn't find anything that talks about the immunity. But if you look at the act as a whole, it's setting up a telephone emergency telephone communication system. It's requiring that, you know, political subdivisions have this service, provide this service. And that's all defeated if we don't have, if they get immunity, if there's no accountability, or, you know, to our second argument, if there's no duty, if they can, I mean, they're not setting up a phone bank to make complaints for, you know, garbage on the street or something wrong in your park. They're setting up an emergency telephone communication system, which is completely defeated if there's no accountability, complete immunity, and there's no duty to handle those calls in a reasonable manner.
So what does the language about immunity mean if the reasonable care exception swallows it up?
I think they would be immune, but
from
for
what?
The failure
immune
to use
from liability
care.
For negligence, but for negligence.
I think they would be immune if they, like, equipment malfunctioned or.
But if there's no underlying liability, it's immunity, but not for negligence or intentional torts. What other kind of liability is there from which to get?
Accidental. Accidents.
Is the question when you look at the word liability, it may be it's tortious, but you won't pay money. That's a different question. Duty and tortious acts precede your analysis, then you proceed to immunity.
I agree, Your Honor.
So it could be something tortious, it's just you won't have to pay for it.
Yes, Your Honor. And I would just like to say, as well, as I think even outside the Emergency Telephone Communications Act, and I'll address this on rebuttal, that under this court's ruling in Mosier, there's also no immunity. But I'll save that for rebuttal, because I see I'm out of time. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Mr. Pinkham, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Leave it on until I hop on up to the podium.
That is really good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Jimmy Pinkham, and I'm here on behalf of the appellee, Douglas County, Nebraska. Douglas County is here today respectfully requesting that this court affirm the district court's ruling granting summary judgment for three reasons. The first and seemingly of most interest to this court today is sovereign immunity under the intentional torts exception based on this court's recent decision in Mosier v. State of Nebraska. The second reason is that Douglas County didn't owe a general duty of care under the Section 7 duty analysis adopted by this court because Douglas County didn't create the risk of harm to Ms. Edwards. In fact, based on this court's own test and adopting the comments from Section 7 and Section 37, had Douglas County not existed at all, the risk of harm to Ms. Edwards posed by Kenneth Clark, a third-party criminal actor, that risk still would have existed. And finally, there are no affirmative duties, no exceptions to the Section 37 no duty rule asserted by Ms. Edwards or adopted by this court that would result in the imposition of an affirmative duty upon Douglas County. With regard to sovereign immunity, of course, Your Honors are well aware that on September 4th, this court issued its opinion in Mosier v. State of Nebraska, clarifying the arising out of language from Britain and obviously from the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act. Specifically clarifying that the phrase arising out of encompasses even claims alleging negligence by a governmental actor when that alleged negligence and the claim therefrom resulted from the intentional acts of not just a governmental employee or a governmental actor, but even non-governmental actors. And Douglas County argues that in this case, this court should be even more apt to apply that standard to Douglas County as opposed to the state of Nebraska. Justice Miller-Lerman discussed specifically the question of whether the negligence was antecedent to the intentional act. And in the Mosier case, there was no question that the negligence was antecedent, was before the intentional act. In this case, the intentional acts, the murder of Jason and John Edwards, the taking of hostage, the tackling and zip tying of Ms. Edwards, and ultimately the beginning of the sexual assault, all occurred prior to Douglas County speaking to John Edwards.
So beg your pardon then. In this case, since we're looking for some reasoned parameters on the Mosier holding, here we have an assault and then a call to 911, and your analysis would be the county's immune in that order, right?
That is correct.
Okay, and then how does this work if you call, if 911 did all right, And the victim gets to UNMC, which happens to be a public body, right? And then the doctors there, instead of treating the broken arm from the assault, gives them a heart transplant. Would UNMC be immune? It all arose from that assault.
Well, Your Honor, I would assume that there would be other potential actions that could occur. Actions which normally don't occur with respect to Douglas County, like medical malpractice. And sovereign immunity, I'm not sure whether the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act specifically applies to UNMC.
So removing the potential of medical malpractice and a possible path, let's say there's an assault, 911 does okay, they get to UNMC, and then at UNMC, our victim flips on a banana peel left by the janitorial staff. That's a kind of negligence kind of event, right? So are they immune?
Well, I think what Your Honor is getting at is this independent affirmative duty idea that Your Honor discussed in your dissent. And Douglas County's position is that even under that interpretation, and so to answer your question, potentially, yes, UNMC could be held liable potentially. There has to still be an independent affirmative duty. And in this case, it's clear that Douglas County owed no general duty or affirmative duty to Ms. Edwards under that standard.
Well, indulge me one more time. 911 does okay. The treatment's okay. And you're driving home from UNMC, and a Douglas County truck is driving badly and hits you.
Well,
it started with an assault, did it not?
It did, although arguably there's less of a direct correlation as there is in the Mosier case and in this case. So I think that there's some very distinct factual differences that could result in this court's creating more of a bright line test.
Does that bright line test boil down to whether the assault and battery was essential to the tort claim being asserted against the county?
Absolutely, Your Honor. I would say so.
Is that what we've said?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe so. Now, with respect to the general duty analysis, the court is well aware that it's adopted both Section 7 and Section 37 of the Restatement Third, exhaustively discussing it in the Bell versus Grow With Me child care
case. Counsel, I'm sorry to interrupt, but before you start talking about duty, I'd like to finish exploring a little bit the sovereign immunity arguments that have been presented, because as far as the order of operations go, we've got to address those first.
Yes, Your Honor.
What do we make of 86-441? Is it an waiver of sovereign immunity? Is it a grant of immunity to non-governmental entities? What is it?
Well, to quote this court, the district court, it is essentially a statute preserving general negligence or intentional tort claims for plaintiffs in cases involving both private suppliers of 911, service providers themselves, so companies like Verizon and Sprint. It is not a limited waiver of sovereign immunity, and Douglas County did mistakenly refer to it as such in its brief, and so Douglas County would like to quickly clarify that position. The idea is to compare immunity statutes and compare this court's discussion of immunity statutes, specifically that even sovereign immunity statutes don't establish any duty whatsoever. A plaintiff still has to establish all four elements of duty. 86441 is one statute in a large grouping of statutes that does not create 911 services. It does not create 911 services.
I beg your pardon, sir. In the order of business, which probably would help us analytically, do you believe this is a correct statement of the law, that the presence of sovereign immunity does not render the state's actions non-tortious? It simply means the state has not consented to suit in its courts with regard to certain claims. In contrast, the absence of duty of care renders the defendant non-liable as a matter of law, so that you would commence your analysis with the existence of a duty, wouldn't you? Or is that an incorrect statement of the law?
Well, I think that that's a correct statement of law, but I think sovereign immunity is discussed initially because it eliminates any question of liability. Duty as a threshold element of negligence comes next.
So you would say even if there's a duty, there is sovereign immunity and skip the duty analysis. Is that what you would have us do?
Yes, Your Honor. Although to be clear, it's Douglas County's position that there is no general duty of care or affirmative duty in this case. To get more to the point, 86441, if you look at the context of the entire grouping of statutes, it's a grouping of statutes intended to fund 911 services. The legislative purpose is explicitly stated that the purpose is to fund 911 services. It does not even create the 911 services.
There was some discussion in the legislative history of this immunity language, wasn't there?
I believe that there
was.
What
do we know from that discussion?
Well, I think that Your Honor, you'll have to forgive me in not calling specifically. I think that there was some very brief discussion as it applied to both governmental and non-governmental entities. But it's one provision in that grouping of statutes where the vast majority of the statutes are definitional. Then the remaining of the statutes are essentially providing for surcharges that you would charge to providers or users of the services so as to raise money for 911 services. It does not even create 911 services. And to quote the district court, it certainly doesn't set a level of customer service or anything like that, and it does not waive sovereign immunity. The Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act is the exclusive remedy under which to file a claim against Douglas County. And the immunity statute in 86441 applies much more broadly than to just Douglas County. And all it does is preserve general negligence claims. But as this court stated in Mosier, even claims involving alleged negligence by a governmental actor, if they arise out of the intentional acts of a third party, Douglas County receives immunity. In this case, it was Kenneth Clark who murdered Ms. Edwards' brothers, took her hostage, zip-tied her, and assaulted her. With that, I see that I'm out of time. Douglas County respectfully requests that this court affirm the district court's ruling granting summary judgment. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. 1 minute and 41 seconds.
1 minute and 41 seconds, Ms. McGill.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to clarify that we do not believe that Douglas County has immunity under the emergency telephone communication system, but also under this court's decision in Mosier, because this stems from Douglas County's continual misunderstanding of our case and that we are not alleging that Douglas County negligently caused Clark to rape Ms. Edwards. We are alleging Douglas County negligently handled the 911 call, which resulted in an extreme delay in law enforcement arriving at the scene of the accident, during which time Ms. Edwards was raped. But that's an important distinguishment because in Mosier, that plaintiff alleged that the Tecumseh Correctional Facility failed to protect them from the assault of the inmate. It's a failure to protect, and a negligence claim couched in a failure to protect. And that's not what we're alleging here. And this also goes to our duty argument.
To rescue?
Say it again.
Is yours couched as a failure to rescue from an assault rather than a failure to prevent an assault? And if so, why does that make a difference?
Our claim is not couched in a failure to rescue.
How would you couch it so that it doesn't essentially involve the assault?
Because the Douglas County's negligence is independent of the assault on Ms. Edwards, and that is proven by the undisputed fact they launched their own investigation into their handling of this claim in the spring of 2016, prior to Ms. Edwards ever bringing a claim. They hired a consultant and investigated their own handling of this claim, which, by the way, found that they failed in several key respects to handle this call in a reasonable manner. So Ms. Edwards' claim is, their negligence is independent of Ms. Edwards' claim. It's not a but-for cause.
May I ask about the damages?
Yes.
Are the damages resulting from the assault, or do they come from something else?
In this case, Ms. Edwards' damages do arrive from the fact that she was raped, but that's a determination for the trial court to determine if Douglas County's negligence were a proximate cause of those damages.
Does she allege other damages stemming from the delay? Any damages other than?
All of Ms. Edwards' damages stem from the fact that she was raped. But again, that's a determination. That's not a determination of whether or not Douglas County's immunity, because the negligence is independent of that rape. The negligence of Douglas County existed whether or not Ms. Edwards was raped or not. They negligently handled the call. It was extreme delay in Ms. Edwards, in the law enforcement arriving at the scene of the accident. So I would ask this court to find there's no immunity, reverse the district court that found that there's no duty, because again, we're not alleging a duty to protect, we're alleging a duty to handle the 911 call in a reasonable manner, and reverse for a trial on the merits on the issues of causation and damages.
When you decline to recharacterize as a failure to rescue, help me understand, Douglas County failed to do what?
Failed to use reasonable care in handling the 911 call.
If they would have done that, what would have resulted?
Law enforcement would have arrived at the scene of the accident in a timely manner.
To accomplish what?
And the sexual assault would have never occurred.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes oral arguments on this case. Please, when you leave the courtroom, properly social distance yourselves and wear your masks, and please leave by the side door.
I apologize.